Good morning.
Good morning.
If you still have your Bibles handy, would you please turn with me to John chapter 19, verses 30 to 37, which will serve as our main text for our sermon this morning. John 19, verses 30 to 37. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again another scripture saith, "They shall look on him on whom they pierced." And may God grant us the wisdom to understand the text before us, but as always, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we do thank thee for these precious words from thy holy scriptures. And we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will guide and direct our understanding of this passage before us and encourage and thrill our souls with the things of Christ. For we do always ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen. We read in the 30th verse of this precious text that Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, these are two vital facts that we all need to understand if we are to have any permanent assurance of our salvation. And so in the next few minutes that are allotted to me this morning, I would like to briefly expound why Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of all mankind. There is absolutely no other Savior or means of entering heaven's gates in the afterlife except through the one who cried out, "It is finished." The scriptures clearly teach in Acts 4, verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that is the most exclusive verse in scripture. It closes the door to every other possible and imaginable way or person who has ever lived or lives to be the Savior of the world. This right is given to none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible not only clearly tells us who the only Savior of the world is, but also why he and he alone is that Savior. First and foremost, Jesus Christ is the prophesied Savior and prophesied sacrifice. This cannot be said of any other who has ever lived. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God had foretold of a future sacrifice to be made that would solve the sin question once and for all. In Genesis 3:15, we are given the first of many scriptures of the coming Savior or Messiah. We read, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And this seed, which Genesis is talking about, is none other than Christ. Further, we are told that he will come from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he will be from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10, and that one day he will inherit the throne of David, for we read in Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." All through the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus Christ is identified, his time of appearing is prophesied, his place of birth is specified, even his name is identified some 715 years before his actual birth. Isaiah 7:14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And that is exactly what happened in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, as we read the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Not only would a virgin conceive, which is in and of itself a miracle, but that also that this child would be God incarnate. God come in the flesh. God would become man. Oh, dearly beloved, there is no greater revelation than this, that God would become man in the person of Jesus Christ, and that he came to save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. And so not only was Jesus Christ the prophesied sacrifice for the sins of this world, but he was also the pure sacrifice. Christ, in order to be an acceptable sacrifice in God's eyes, had to be pure and undefiled, untainted by sin. And he was just that. In John 1:29, John the Baptist identified Jesus as that perfect, unblemished, sacrificial Lamb of God when he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And then as John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus, God the Father thundered from heaven in a clear and audible voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. The Bible goes to great lengths to clarify Christ's divine purity and unblemished sacrifice. In 1 John chapter 3, 5, we read, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." That is, in him is no sin nature. It was impossible for Jesus to sin, whether in deed, in word, or even in thought. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, we are told that Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was perfect. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are told how God the Father made his Son to be our perfect sacrifice. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, dear friends, if there is anyone who is listening to this message who is still undecided about trusting Christ as their sin bearer, please listen carefully to this. The only way we can ever be made righteous in the sight of a holy and a righteous God is if we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. He took our sins, and we, receiving him by faith, receive the righteousness of God in him. There is no other way. But not only was Christ the prophesied sacrifice and the pure sacrifice, but he was also the perfect sacrifice. For we read from our text this morning in John 19:30, it is finished. It is finished. The work at Calvary is finished once and for all. The debt of sin has been paid in full by Christ, our perfect sacrificial lamb, through the shedding of his own precious blood. The Bible clearly reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there can never be any remission or forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. But not just any blood. That blood must be pure, undefiled, unblemished, blood that was untainted by sin. And the only one who had that kind of blood was Jesus Christ, the very Son of the living God. And by his blood, we are told in Colossians 1:14, we are redeemed. But not only was Jesus the prophesied sacrifice and the pure sacrifice and the perfect sacrifice, but he is also the permanent sacrifice. We are told in Hebrews 1:3 that when Jesus had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He will never again sacrifice himself for our sins. He did it only once, contrary to what many churches teach today. His sacrifice on Calvary's cross was a once and for all sacrifice. It is permanent. It will be effective for all of eternity. Hebrews 9:28 clearly tells us that this Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And where was he offered? He was offered on the cross of Calvary, that awful Wednesday afternoon. He died, was buried, and 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, after which he arose early Sunday morning, exactly how he said he would in Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He was in the grave Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And early Sunday morning, he arose, giving irrefutable proof that God the Father was satisfied with his Son's sacrifice. And before we close, I would like to draw our attention to John 19, verse 30. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Luke tells us in Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus willingly gave up his spirit. There was no sin in him, and sin brings death. Therefore, Jesus had to die willingly. In John 10:18, Jesus, when talking about his life, said, No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What a marvelous Savior we all have this morning. A perfect Savior. And yet this Easter Sunday, instead of remembering him and praising him, untold billions are still on the road to hell, dead and lost in their trespasses and sins. And oh, how we need to pray for the lost and to point them to the cross of Calvary so that their souls might be redeemed also. It is not a difficult concept to understand. Without Christ, there is no hope of salvation. It's as simple as that. In John 5, verses 39 to 40, when Jesus was debating with the Pharisees who rejected him as their Messiah, he said these words, Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Again, dear friends, I must plead with you, if you have not entrusted your soul to Christ already, please do so while there is still yet time. Tomorrow may be too late. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this book called the Holy Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been pleased to inform us of who thou art, what thy will is for us, and how much thou dost love each and every one of us, revealed in the sending of thy Son to the cross of Calvary to be the curse, so that our sins might be placed on his shoulders and nailed to that cross, and the penalty paid in full. Father, it is such a deep truth, and yet such a loving, loving revelation to each and every one of us. And so we pray, dear Lord, that as we celebrate this Easter weekend in the risen Lord, that we might be mindful of the tremendous cost incurred by thee and thy Son to set us free from sin. Part us now, we pray, with thy blessing. And if the Lord be not come, may it please thee once again to unite us around his table next Lord's Day. For we do always ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen.